Good morning. I'm Cheryl Gasser, in today for Kathleen Dunn here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This hour, is this the year that Black Friday, the biggest shopping day of the year, goes green? Ithaca, New York is launching its first Shop Green campaign today, promoting local green businesses and products, everything from clothing stores to restaurants and gift shops. One recent survey of holiday shoppers found that over half would be willing to pay more for an environmentally responsible product and that they were more likely to buy green gifts this year than in years past. Whether it's making homemade gifts or foregoing the wrapping paper this Christmas, what steps are you taking to green up your holiday? And how important is it to you to consume less during a time of the year known for overconsumption? Joining the conversation this hour, we're broadcasting today out of Madison, so the numbers slightly different, 1-800-642-1234 or 263-1890. Our guest this hour is Ella Tyler, Outreach and Communication Director for Citizens Environmental Coalition based in Houston. Ms. Tyler, welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio.
I'm glad to be here, there.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Actually, I'm really glad to be in Houston where it's 50.
A little warmer than it is here in Wisconsin, but we enjoy the cold. Well, according to the EPA, the average American increases their household waste by 25% between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Where does this increase come from?
I have been thinking about that, and people, I think, seem to think that it's all in wrapping papers and ribbons, but it can't be. It has to be in boxes that things come in, extra bags that things come in, just party trash, food that spoils and you throw away.
So there are a lot of sources.
A lot of sources.
And there are also a variety of ways for consumers to go green this holiday season. And since this is the biggest shopping day of the year, why don't we start out talking about gifts? How can consumers be more environmentally friendly when it comes to gift giving?
The first thing is not to give a thing. Not give a thing in terms of an object. Give theater tickets, take everybody on a wonderful family vacation, offer to paint somebody's house, babysit their children. But in the spirit of objects, of goods, buy local. Instead of going to the mall, check out a crafts fair, make it yourself, buy something that's recycled, easily recyclable. People think about buying recycled, but then they don't think about what happens when the object is no longer useful. And certainly, you can certainly buy some gifts at resale shops. You know, and the other thing is that I think that a lot of Christmas shopping is I'll buy one for me and one for you and one for me and one for you. And if we cut out some of that buy one for me, we can spend way less this year.
Now, do you think people are buying that one for themselves because the deals are so incredible at this time of year that they're hard to pass up?
I think that's part of it. And I think that the other thing is that people who don't ordinarily shop are out in stores more. I hardly ever go to stores except at Christmas, and I go, "Wow, look at this!" And of course, the more you're out, the more you go to different stores, the more you see things you like and want.
Sure, I find that true with catalogs too. And you're not looking at the catalogs, you don't really know what you're missing. But when you're looking, you're thinking, you know, that would be really nice to have. And we certainly get a glut of catalogs at the holiday season as well.
Yes, yes, and there is a way to stop. In fact, there's a variety of ways to get off those lists, and next year people can do that, or people can do that now for next year.
Do you have any resources you can mention now?
Not
for
off
listeners?
The top of my head. Okay. I really feel a little irresponsible.
We'll try to have our under producer Keisha Mauber look up ways to get off catalog mailing lists and see if
In fact, each catalog says if you don't want to get this catalog anymore, tell us.
Sure, but it's pretty difficult
call
or mail every time.
Let me tell you.
Well, let's talk gifts for a minute. You mentioned local merchants. There's, of course, fair trade products. What about the homemade gift? Is that something we're seeing more of? Do people have time to you know, I don't know, make their own soap or canned food for friends.
I think that it might be becoming a little bit more okay. You know, sometimes it used to be that, you know, if you made somebody a homemade gift, it was because you didn't have any money to shop.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think it's okay, particularly if it's one of the sort of a gourmet food item.
Well, there are green retailers, stores that specialize in eco-friendly products, but then there are also green products. Now, are traditional retailers carrying more green products to attract the environmentally minded consumer?
Oh, definitely. To begin with, Home Depot is adding a whole line, not a whole line, is adding eco-friendly stuff to each of its, you know, all over the store.
Like what sorts? I mean, I can imagine eco-friendly light bulbs, but what else
well,
in Home
paint.
Depot?
Mm-hmm. Floor tiles.
Okay, so big box consumers are going green as well to some extent at least.
Yes.
How does the latest news about toys from China being recalled for safety concerns, lead paint, how does that affect the way that consumers are shopping this year for toys, shopping for kids?
I think that is certainly in some markets, certainly the more expensive market, I think that's going to be a really big driver. The very conscientious parents are going to be looking more at products from other countries, handmade products. You know, the people who can afford to buy a little bit more expensive gift are really going to be looking at that. Although it's very, very hard to find stuff that's not, particularly children's toys, that's not made in China.
It really is. So when it comes to kids, and what are some good green choices? Do you have to get creative?
Well, no. You have to, I think, really think hard about the kid and what he or she likes, and that one, you know, one really cool gift, one gift that is exactly what the child wants, is better than four that they don't. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, I bought my nephew a shirt that he likes Bionicles. And I bought a Transformers shirt because I got confused. Well, the Bionicles shirt would have been wonderful. The Transformers shirt was just not right.
Big difference, yeah.
Right, yeah, I mean, big difference. I might as well have not bothered. I mean, and he's a sweet kid, so he didn't say that.
We are talking this hour about going green for the holidays, alternatives to traditional gifts and entertaining decoration. Even the tree you choose can make a difference for the earth. We're talking this hour with Ella Tyler. She is Outreach and Communication Director for Citizens Environmental Coalition based in Houston. And we'd love to hear from you this hour. Will you be buying green this holiday? Do you go out of your way to shop eco-friendly? The number to call to join in the conversation, 1-800-642-1234, toll free, or 263-1890. You can also email us your questions and comments at talk@wpr.org. And Ella Tyler, more and more of us are doing our shopping holiday or otherwise on the internet these days, but how green are online options once you factor in shipping and packaging to get the gift to where it's going?
I don't think that they're necessarily much greener at all, particularly since a lot of that delivery is very inefficient. It's one truck, one house. You know, half the block down, another truck, another house. So I think that online shopping certainly has a place. And, you know, it's easy for me in Houston where, you know, you can go 3 miles and buy anything from anywhere, at least where I live, mm-hmm. To say, oh, you don't need to shop online. I think of shopping online as a look last, see what's see what's in your own neighborhood store, your own locally owned store.
Okay. And certainly we can come back to gift giving, lots more to talk about there, but it's not just about the gifts. Let's talk for a minute about the tree, the Christmas tree. You have a choice between petroleum and pesticides when it comes to a real tree or a fake tree. Is there a best choice?
No, I don't think so. There are some, but very, very few organic Christmas tree farmers.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, sort of the perfect tree has to have pesticides to keep, to keep the bugs away and all of those things. Probably the perfect tree is a living tree.
And what's that?
A tree that, comes in a pot that you can then plant in your own garden. And there are certainly in some climates some gorgeous, gorgeous trees that can be done like that. Or decorate a Norfolk Island pine. Decorate some other kind of tree.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But if you're absolutely going to get a real tree that is, and you can't find a living tree and you can't find an organic tree, and you want a true Christmas tree, from what you know, is there any benefit to a fake tree that can be reused year after year after year, or going to a Christmas farm and chopping down a real tree? Or is it really
the real benefit to going to a Christmas farm and chopping down the real tree is that you also have a fun holiday experience with
sure.
your children. There is not a big difference.
Okay. We are talking this hour with Ella Tyler, Outreach and Communication Director for Citizens Environmental Coalition. We're talking about how to green up your holidays, from the food you eat to the gifts you give to the travel that you do during the holidays, how to be as environmentally friendly as possible. You can join in the conversation at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. Sitting in today for Kathleen Dunn, I'm Cheryl Gasser here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up after 3 this afternoon on Here on Earth, Radio Without Borders, Jean Faraca and her guest talk about the surprising power of family meals. That's Here on Earth after 3 this afternoon. Good morning. I'm Cheryl Gasser in today for Kathleen Dunn here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we're talking this hour about going green for the holidays, how to be as earth-friendly as possible when it comes to celebrating the holidays this year. Our guest is Ella Tyler, Outreach and Communication Director for the Houston-based Citizens Environmental Coalition. And Ms. Tyler, let's go ahead and take some calls. Our first call is from Taylor in Athens. Taylor, you're on the air.
Hi, I was just wondering, is it really true that the shoppers are spending less because they're looking for better deals? And I have one question that I've been waiting to get out of my mind. Why is today called Black Friday?
Good questions, Taylor and Ella Tyler. Do you know why today is called Black Friday, why that's referred to by retailers?
Yes. Because it's when you go into the black, when you start making money.
Do you understand that, Taylor? So,
yes.
Okay.
Thank you. I've been wondering that for a long time. People have asked me that, and thanks.
Great. Okay. And how about his first question, Ella? Are people spending less, looking for better deals this year?
That's certainly what I've read, although I think it's really too early to tell. But I certainly have read articles that suggest that people are conditioned by sales at the very, at the very beginning of the holiday season, and that people will not, won't buy anything even at Christmas at full price.
Mm-hmm. Well, Taylor, thank you very much for your call. We'll go next to Sarah calling from Edgerton.
Good morning.
Morning.
This show is perfect timing. I'm sitting down today and making my shopping mm-hmm. list. I'm a little behind the curb, not out shopping today. But you struck a chord. You reminded me of something that we started last year, my 5 best friends and I, and we really did it to save money and economize, not necessarily to be friendly to the environment. But we decided instead of buying each other things that we would all sign up for a UW mini course together. And so last year we all had six fabulous Thursday nights of belly dancing through UW courses. And, you know, the time together was so much more fun than any gift that we could have opened and probably, you know, appreciated for the day that we opened it, and that's about it.
Well, that sounds like a wonderful idea, Sarah. Thank you very much for the suggestion.
That is a great idea.
And it sounds like a lot of fun. Certainly giving events or giving things to people that, as you said in the beginning of the hour, aren't material, but doing something for or with someone might be much more meaningful than a material gift.
Well, one of the things that occurred to me, I worked in a small office, and we were supposed to have sort of some sort of office get together for the holiday season, but that was silly. We all knew each other. We all know each other's spouses. We all know each other's children. So what I did was I gave my staff, everybody, an afternoon off during the week to go do their Christmas shopping, mm-hmm. and that was a great gift, much better than any corporate or business get together that we could have had.
Mm-hmm. That sounds wonderful. And I certainly know people who give gift certificates to, a free homemade dinner for a friend or a night of babysitting. And those are certainly appreciated as well. We have a line open for you now. Lines are filling up quickly, but if you'd like to join in the conversation, 800-642-1234 or 263-1890. And you can also email us at talk@wpr.org. We'll go back to the phones and take a call from Mike, phoning in from Bruce.
Hi. I guess I'm taking a little bit at issue with the online shopping statement about efficiencies there. Especially, I live in Racine, but I'm vacationing in my hometown area up here in northern Wisconsin. And for instance, this weekend, I know several people that in order to do their Black Friday shopping, they're driving 30 miles one way to get to a town that has shopping other than, one or two stores in their immediate area. I mean, there are many areas of the country and even in some suburbs where it's so residential that just to get from residential to a shopping district can be anywhere from 5 to 10 miles. The area I live in larger metro Milwaukee, for me to go from my home to what would be a diverse shopping area is a 10-mile round trip. And I would suggest that the analogy that you have one truck going to one place isn't I don't think entirely accurate. That truck, that delivery truck, is, yes, it's going to your place, but it's also going to your neighbor's place and your neighbor's neighbor's place. And it's also more than likely using a vehicle that's far more fuel efficient per pound carried than the average U.S. automobile or SUV. So I'm going to suggest that, although I think the jury's out, should be looked at, that online shopping for many, many people would be a great way to be green this year as opposed to driving their SUV around from shop to shop to shop.
I certainly can agree that, I said that in Houston, where I live 2 miles from the we like to think world-famous Galleria, and I have a fairly decent-sized shopping center within walking distance. Not, of course, that we do that, but we could. Going to the store is not an easy option for lots of people.
Well, I think, too, the point might be if you can buy it at a local retailer for $20 or buy it online for $15, it might not be worth that $5 savings once you factor in the shipping and the packaging. But if you have to send it anyway to, a few states away to family or friends, online might be a good way to go.
And that is a good point.
And when it comes to online shopping, I'm sure they're out there. I don't know of any now, and I'd love to hear from people if they do know. There must be eco-friendly online retailers who make a point of using recycled packaging and the best delivery methods. it seems like that's something consumers really look for, and I know I've heard of them before. I just can't think of any right now. So,
Natural Home, the magazine Natural Home at naturalhome.com
okay.
has a little gift store. Certainly, the Sierra Club, the National Sierra Club, has wonderful calendars and cards and photographs that you can send. The 1,000 Villages, the 10,000 Villages store, the Mennonite Fair Trade has an online site that I think is probably 10,000villages.com.
Okay.
And in Houston, we have a wonderful little store, but it's in the most difficult shopping area of Houston to go. That's the place you want to go in the middle of the day on a Tuesday, because otherwise parking is horrible.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mike, thank you very much for your call and bringing up that issue. And Ella Tyler, if you are going to go to a brick-and-mortar store, there certainly are things you can do to reduce your impact on the environment when you're shopping. You can carpool. You could take the bus, I suppose. Bring your own shopping bags. There are lots of ways to reduce your impact when you're shopping close to home.
And one is to just go once. Go make it a day, you know, and do your shopping and then get on with having a fun holiday season instead of going, you know, today and then forgetting that you need to get something and going tomorrow and then, you know, 2 weeks later going to see if there's anything that you missed.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, I know people who shop for Christmas in June. You know, they don't necessarily get the best sales, but they've got it all over with before the season is even close.
You know, every time I do that, I put things in a safe place so that I can't find them.
Forget about them? Well, you can give them again next year when you find them.
Right, yeah.
Let's go ahead and go back to the phones. We have a full phone bank, and next we'll hear from Rick in Madison.
Hi, this is Rick. I wanted to bring up a couple of things. Here in Madison, we have what's called Dane by Local, and we have almost 200 businesses and probably 30 restaurants of Madison Originals who are part of that. And we started it through Wisconsin Partners for Sustainability, and it's been just amazing how fast it's grown. I should mention, too, this for the first time, we have a local gift card, which is put out by one of the members, Home Savings Bank. And it's a Visa card that you can spend your money anywhere. But the neat thing is we have many, many local businesses that are honoring that. And what's nice is that the sort of slogan, Friendly Faces, Neighborhood Places, extends beyond just face-to-face because some of our members also take orders online. One, an example is a greater gift. It's very much like 10,000 Villages, but we have a local store here that is also supported by online purchases, and it supports programs like ours, artisans from throughout the world who produce crafts and then sell them in the United States.
And, Rick, if people wanted to find more about the Local Dane Initiative, do you have a website? If people
we do.
Want to find out?
Yeah, thanks for asking. It's www.danebylocal.com. And what's nice is there's a similar group starting in Milwaukee. We've had some interest from Wausau. And it's just very exciting to see how fast this grows. People are realizing that if they spend money with a local store, it circulates many more times in the local community, rather than going 100 or thousands of miles away to a large corporation that makes decisions elsewhere. So that's been very reassuring to me to see how it makes a difference where and how we spend our money.
Well, Rick, thank you very much for your call. Ella Tyler, any comments?
Oh, that's a wonderful idea. And, yeah, buying local is a major component of sustainability. It you reduce transportation costs, you support your own economy, you give people in your own community jobs.
Thank you very much for your call, Rick. If you want to join in the conversation this hour, there's a line for you at 1-800-642-1234. You could also email us at talk@wpr.org. Next, we'll take a call from Paula in Zion, Illinois.
Hi. I'm a very committed recycler, and I try to live as environmentally sensitively as I can, and I'm trying to get a handle on our focus on this discussion, because when we're talking about 10,000 villages where all of those items are imported many, many thousands of miles using petroleum to get them here, I don't see how that's a green choice. But be that as it may, I want to focus on the Christmas tree issue.
Mm-hmm.
My family has used the same artificial Christmas tree for 15 years, and before we had it, another family had used it for at least 10 years. You know, granted, it was not produced in an environmentally sensitive way, but it is also not in a landfill. It's been reused and reused and reused and reused. And, you know, if a family today, you know, this weekend is going to choose their Christmas tree, they're choosing amongst cut trees that have been cut as early as October for an anticipated market. Now, let's say we all go to the garden center and get a Norfolk Island pine instead. That's a wonderful thing in the long run, but for this market cycle, that means that many, many, many trees are then going into a landfill. So when you're trying to decide what's environmentally sensitive and what's the right response, I think we need to determine what's the end result of what we did. You know, are we purchasing gifts to give to people we know only slightly or people we work with because we feel we have to without realizing that person's going to throw it away when they get it home because it's not something they want, it's not something mm-hmm. they appreciate? I think we have to think in much broader terms rather than just, you know, did we shop at a store that was within walking distance of our home or did we drive to the, you know, shopping mall 15 miles away? And oftentimes as a consumer, we don't know the things that we need to know to make that choice to feel that we've done the right thing.
Paula, thank you for your call. And Ella Tyler, there certainly are many elements that go into going green for the holidays. It might be buying local. It might be the packaging or the gift wrap you use or the way the product was made. Is it possible to go 100% eco-friendly? Is that something that families are likely to do?
I think it's probably impossible to do if you are a consumer in a sort of average household. Because Paula made a wonderful point that, you know, often we don't know enough to know which is really environmental friendly. And there are, and I hate the word, trade-offs. I mean, you know, where everybody gets so excited about bamboo products, and then we discover that, you know, in people are cutting down forests to farm bamboo, and you know people got so excited about corn biodiesel, and then you know they were converting other land to, you know, then the corn prices rose. So because people were using food mm-hmm. for fuel, I think the real thing to do about a green holiday, and in fact a green lifestyle, is really think it through. Think that, you know, it's not just the gift paper, it's not just where you shop, it's a whole set of things, and be thoughtful at every step in the process that you can.
Well, Paula, thank you for your call, and she also had some thoughts on Christmas trees, as does Kateri, our next caller from Whitehall.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Terry.
I'm just calling. I'm a Christmas tree grower myself, and I've been doing it ever since I was a little girl. And I would just like to say that I would actually like to point out the benefits of trees while they were growing, because I know we wouldn't have planted all these hundreds of trees if we weren't planning on cutting them and selling them. So, and then I would also like to point out that we never use any pesticides, and we don't know any Christmas tree farmers around us who do use pesticides, because we're not actually trying to produce a fruit on these trees or anything.
Oh.
So we don't use anything.
Well, that's good to know, because I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, no, and I don't think most Christmas trees growers use pesticides either.
What about, do you fertilize?
No, we don't really fertilize. I mean, the tree is, it's an acidic sandy soil, so they don't really need much fertilizer. They don't actually want those basic nutrients.
And what about extra irrigation?
Just rain. The only thing we do is we mow between the trees once in a while, but that's about it. And we shear them by hand, so, and we don't use a baler or anything like that, so.
And now, I have heard that some trees are sprayed green.
This would be like white pines, and basically it's like a sunblock to protect them. So there's green colorant in it, but the main idea there is to protect them from, like, the extreme heat of the sun, which would kill them.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. Well, Kateri, thank you very much for your call. And I assume you could ask your local Christmas tree farmer whether they, you know, use pesticides and how earth-friendly they are. So thank you very much for that call. And there is room for you in the conversation, 1-800-642-1234, broadcasting today out of the Madison Studios. And if you're in the Madison area, join us at 263-1890 or send us an email. That's talk@wpr.org. We are joined this hour by our guest, Ella Tyler. She is the Outreach and Communication Director for Citizens Environmental Coalition based in Houston. And I'm Cheryl Gasser, sitting in today for Kathleen Dunn here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Cheryl Gasser in today for Kathleen Dunn here on the Ideas Network. And coming up next hour, we'll be going to the movies. I'll be talking with film critic Mike Mayo, looking at the best and the worst at the box office this holiday season. So if you've seen a movie you'd like to recommend or tell us to avoid, stay tuned next hour. This hour, we're talking about earth-friendly choices when it comes to celebrating the holiday season, from the gifts you give to the food you eat and the decorations you put up. If you'd like to join in the conversation, our lines are full at the moment, but we should have an open one in just a few minutes, and hope you join in the conversation. Our guest, Ella Tyler, is Outreach and Communication Director for Citizens Environmental Coalition based in Houston. And Ms. Tyler, what about alternatives to traditional wrapping paper? I'm sure that that 25% increase in our household waste during the holiday season, a good chunk of it probably comes from packaging, but also gift wrap. What are some alternatives there?
Well, one is to recycle your gift wrap from year to year, although it's too late to do this year.
Mm-hmm.
And there's don't wrap it at all. Put it in a plain box and put stickers on it. Newspaper, magazines, brown paper bags, and let children decorate. And that's always fun for children. Let me think. What else? You could wrap something in another gift. A cloth, you know, in a beautiful sweater, something like that. You can buy wrapping paper at secondhand stores, which I hadn't thought. Old maps are always run for a travel related gift.
Okay, so be creative is, I think, the answer. And there are also, I'm sure, there are recycled gift wraps that you can buy.
There are paper, yeah, there and paper production, gift paper production, all that is. It's not just the paper. It's really very toxic in terms of the chemicals used. I was shocked to realize how toxic printing can be.
Is that from the color that's used?
The dyes, the inks, everything.
Okay. And what about when it comes to decorations? We've talked Christmas trees, but what about the tinsel that you put on the trees, the bulbs? Some of it's reusable. You use from year to year, but much of it just goes in the trash when you're done with it. And tinsel, I'm quite sure, is petroleum-based. Is that something we should avoid?
I think that avoiding petroleum-based is always beneficial. But, you know, part of it, you know, there's always trade-offs. Going back to that, I've been reading a lot about replacing your LED, your outdoor lights with LED lights. And I've been looking at it, and I'm going, but what am I supposed to do with my perfectly good lights that I only use for, you know, a week or so, because I'm never, you know, I don't get them up early. So tinsel is fine, but then, you know, ride the bus to the shopping center.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to Christmas lights, maybe if you have some, continue to use them. But if you need to
buy new ones,
buy the LEDs. Well, let's go back to the phones, and we'll talk next with Heather in Monona.
Hi. I'm a member of a group called the Natural Step Monona, and we follow the framework of an organization called the Natural Step. And what we've done is created a link on our website, or a page on our website, I should say, of all the things that you're talking about today. It's called Green Holiday Ideas. We have local gifts, green gifts, gifts of time, homemade gifts, how to wrap gifts, how to send holiday greetings that are greener, and decorating the tree and such. And on there, I have a really good website link to the Green Gift Giving Guide from the National Resource Defense Council, I guess it is. And if I could give that, I think it's a really good one.
Sure, go right ahead.
It's very long.
Okay.
Well, is there a link on your website to that website?
Yes, there is.
Is your website any shorter?
It is shorter, yes.
Well, then why don't we go with that?
Okay, ours is tnsmonona.org. That's TNS as the Natural Step, Monona.org.
.org, and people can go there to find the link to...
They can, and they can read all our ideas. I specifically wanted to talk, if I could, about some green gift ideas, about giving gifts that will help the recipient to be more green.
Oh, sure. Go right ahead.
First thing I would recommend is getting a Sustain-Dane rain barrel, or in your area, whatever you can get. And that has another short website, which is www.rainreserve.com. So you can get people to start saving their rainwater. You can buy people compact fluorescent bulbs, mesh or canvas shopping bags, a programmable thermostat if they don't already have one, rechargeable batteries and battery charges. Those are especially good for families with children. Those human-powered crank handle radios or radio flashlight combinations. If somebody's a gardener or has a big lawn, you can get them a push mower, a solar mower, or an electric mower. And I highly recommend getting a home water filter along with some reusable water bottles. We pollute the world with so many plastic water bottles these days, and that's one of my pet peeves.
Mm-hmm.
Also, a bicycle. If somebody doesn't have one, that's a great thing to get.
Well, Heather, those are all great ideas. And it sounds, Ella Tyler, like they're things that we would need anyway.
Well, and, you know, the recyclable battery is that hand crank thing. It's a lot of fun. And we my brother got those for us during the hurricane season last year. He went to Costco and bought one for him and one for us. It was just delightful. And one of the decorating thoughts is soy candles are much more beneficial and much nicer to use any place you're using candles in your decorating.
Okay.
And if I could comment, too, on something that was said earlier about it's not possible to have a 100% eco-friendly holiday, I think we need to just rethink the way we contemplate the idea of holiday. Is it really about lights and packages and shopping, or is it about what we have in our hearts? And personally, I don't decorate. I've canceled the whole gift-giving with my families, and it's 100% eco-friendly. We make phone calls. We don't send cards.
How did your family react when you first proposed that?
Well, I'm the greenest one in the family, so being the green sheep, I didn't get a lot of buy-in at the beginning, but they've come to accept it, and I tell them if they really want to buy me something, just save it for my birthday.
Well, Heather, thank you very much for your call and all of your ideas. Well, we've had a full phone bank this hour, but now a couple lines open. If you'd like to join in the conversation, still time for you at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison 263-1890. And our next caller for you, Ella Tyler, is David in Fenimore.
Hi. Good morning to both of you.
Morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to suggest given a gift in honor of somebody that in your family or a friend to Heifer International. They have a catalog for that purpose. The idea is to help purchase an animal to well, I'll just read real quickly a quote from Jimmy Carter. For 60 years, Heifer International has inspired hope in hungry communities where the gift of one animal can bring health, prosperity, and peace. So they have this catalog for being able to give to help people in developing countries or a third world country in honor of one of your family members. And they have a whole list of different projects, women and livestock, milk menagerie, knitting baskets, actually buying a heifer or shares of a heifer to help a family have a milk cow, for example. And then the idea is that they have to give one of their calves to another family in that community. Hmm. The website is www.heifer.org/catalog. They're based out of Little Rock, Arkansas. Here's another brief quote. Today, Heifer is recognized around the world for its effective approach to ending poverty. Because of Heifer, hundreds of thousands of families are able to feed their children and give them a better future. Heifer provides much more than food. You bring hope and triumph of the human spirit. That's from Bill Clinton.
Well, David, thank you very much for that. Have you heard of Heifer International before, Ella Tyler?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Heifer is one of my brother's favorite charities, and everybody in the family, or many people in the family, get shares in Heifer, except me. And I've always been, I've spent a lot of my life being a poor journalist. Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of my life being a poor lawyer, but now I'm moving to being a poor journalist. And what he and his wife always give me is they call my hairdresser and charge a cut and a color for me.
Oh, so, sure.
But he and one of his very good childhood friends sort of trade off charities. Tim's charity is Heifer International, and his friend Mark's charity is Planned Parenthood.
Another creative and good idea to let people know, instead of giving you a gift, maybe not wait for them to become green, but telling them that you don't want an actual gift, but what you'd like is a donation in your name or no gift at all, perhaps.
Well, and a lot of people, one of the reasons so many people are so hard to buy for is that they have everything.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know that if they want it, they'll buy it themselves. And for those people, what you do is you say, well, you know, what is your favorite charity? Could I make a gift? Or my mother doesn't get out to shop very well, so what I do for Christmas for her is I say, Mom, let me go buy you some new clothes. And I go bring everything home, and she tries it on, and I take back what doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So, somebody suggested, light bulbs, compact fluorescent light bulbs. And one of the things that we need in my house is somebody, you know, taller than I am to change our floodlights in the backyard. And so if, you know, we always sort of are, I think, embarrassed to say, well, let me do this for you as a gift. But if you've ever tried to do that yourself and can't, those are really very, very valuable and very useful.
Okay, we'll go back to the phones and take a call from Carol in Madison.
Hi. I'm calling with an idea that my family has done over the last few years. We realized after my adult children left home and began to start their own lives and careers, Christmas became a terrible, stressful time for them. They didn't have money to purchase presents, and we talked about it at that time and decided for a while we'd just stop purchasing gifts for each other and just spend our time together. Well, as it turned out, it took so much stress off the holiday for all of us that that's what we've continued to do now for the last 10 years. We don't buy Christmas presents for each other. We spend time together. We have young children in our family, and those children get gifts of time. They're taken to museums or to shows or to movies. And we have totally revitalized our holiday. It's been wonderful. We have fun. No one's out in the store fighting the crowds. No one's fretting about whether or not what they buy for the other person is something suitable or wanted. And I've just found it so much more enjoyable. We give gifts at birthdays and when it's the, you know, the time is available for shopping and we can really think about the other person. So that's my comment.
Thank you very much, Carol. And let's go next to Kim in Prairie du Chien. Kim, you're on the air.
Hi. I got a trick from a kind of a crafty older lady a few years ago. You go down to your local newspaper office and ask for the ends of the rolls. You know, the paper comes in these big rolls.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't go all the way. They can't use all the paper all to the end. And she takes the paper home, and she wraps all her presents, and then she gets some stamps, you know, gold stamps or... and ribbon she uses every year, and it's really pretty when she's done.
So it's very creative.
That's very pretty.
Yeah, it's, you know, the paper's white. It's a little off white, but and it you can buy the end of the roll for like $1.
Hmm.
Newsprint roll.
Well, Kim, thank you very much. And is this something that you do as well now?
Oh, I buy the end of the rolls and just use it for whatever. You know, when I ever need paper for odd jobs and odd projects.
Okay, thanks.
So just go to your local newspaper office and ask them for the end of the rolls.
Okay, thank you very much for your call.
Okay, thank you.
And Ella, what about holiday cards? That's quite a tradition in many families, but it also produces quite a bit of waste. If you're, you know, insistent on sending holiday cards, is there a better way to go about it?
There are some very, very pretty and very nice email cards that... And, you know, again, this is so irresponsible. I get one that you can sign up for like $9 and a year. And somebody has sent them to me. But they send wonderful cards with music and all that. And they are really a pleasure to get.
Mm-hmm.
I have been thinking about making paper. That's a fun project for children, and you could make a paper card. There are some wonderful cards that are, they're handmade paper, but they have seeds in them.
Oh, sure, I've seen those.
Yeah, and those are nice.
So you can take the card, you can plant the seeds and grow flowers next year or vegetable of sorts.
And I have cards that I've had for years that I've sort of gotten tired of, and I'm going to trade with a friend. We're going to go through our card box and trade, and she's going to, you know, have all of my old ones with unicorns or whatever they are, and I'm going to have hers with snowmen. That's also something that you can find at resale shops.
Sure. Well, let's go back to the phones. A few more calls this hour. Jan in Eau Claire is our next caller.
Good morning. Thanks so much for your program. I just wanted to piggyback on the Christmas tree grower, because here in Wisconsin, we were talking about growing local or patronizing our local people, and Christmas trees in Wisconsin, the real ones, are a local crop. So those that are sold here in Eau Claire are cut just days before they're sold. So I would say go with natural trees. They're wonderful. Then also I wanted to, I was reminded from the Heifer Project, there's another catalog that you can get. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has provided the Good Gifts catalog. And you can go on the website, www.elca.org/goodgifts. And this provides everything from providing hunger, banishing hunger, building peace, providing a well. It's similar. There's barnyard animals and all kinds of good things to help other people less fortunate than we are. Thank you for the program.
Well, thank you for your call, Jan. And let's take one more quick call from Chris in Evansville. Chris, just a minute or so to go.
Hi, I just wanted to encourage people after they've used their Christmas tree to collect them and make piles of them in their backyards to provide shelter for the wild creatures. I go around every year and collect other people's Christmas trees and have big brush piles in my backyard. And the birds love it and the squirrels love it.
And then what do you do with them come spring or summer?
I actually keep brush piles in my backyard to provide shelter for the small creatures. And then the following fall, I cut off all the branches and make suet feeders by drilling holes in the logs. There are ready-made perches there from the branches, and I have a bunch of peanut butter and suet feeders.
Great idea. Well, Chris, thank you for calling in and joining in the conversation this hour. And Ella Tyler, I thank you so much for being with us. We're at the end of the hour, so thank you very much for your time.
Well, thank you. That was a fun show, and I certainly learned some new things.
Well, as did we. Thank you very much for joining us.
Happy holidays to all.
And to you. Our guest this hour has been Ella Tyler. She is the Outreach and Communication Director for Citizens Environmental Coalition based in Houston, Texas. Thanks very much to Rhonda Fanning, who produced this hour, and thanks as well to Keisha Mabra, who answered your phones, handled the on-air production this hour. If you'd like a CD copy of this or any of our shows, call the radio store, 800-747-7444. In today for Kathleen Dunn, I'm Cheryl Gasser here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.